Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami, Srila Prabhupada. The hairs on his body are the cause of all vegetation, particularly of those trees which are required as ingredients for the sacrifices. The hair on his hand, the hair on his head and face are reservoirs of all the clouds, and his nails are the breeding ground of electricity, stones and iron ore. Purport. The polished nails of the Lord generate electricity, and the clouds rest on the hairs of his head. One can therefore collect all sorts of necessities of life from the person of the Lord. And therefore, the Vedas affirms that everything that is produced is caused by the Lord. The Lord is the supreme cause of all causes. Om Jnana Trimandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshus Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Vanchakalpa Trubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyecha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Kaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here in this chapter we are discussing the Purusha Sukta prayers confirmed. Of course, we are leading in from the previous chapter, which is describing the Lord's universal form. Now, if we read this section here, this particularly this verse, to a common man would think, how is it possible that the Lord's hair on his body is the cause of vegetation? And as the purport Prabhupada says, the hairs on his head are the breeding ground for clouds. And the nails, the polished nails, produce electricity. Now, in our modern day understanding, we would think electricity was discovered some 100 years back. Now, Bhagavatam here is written in its written form by Vyasadeva 5,000 years ago. So where was the electricity? So we would kind of doubt that whether the words of Bhagavatam are perfect and are absolute, or it is just things written down, but it has no any spiritual values. So here, actually, we have to go in a different path of understanding that this is an allegory. This is not literally. So you won't see the Lord, sitting there and his hair standing out on his head, and then you kind of look at it and say, oh, well, that's the hair of the Lord, and that's the clouds in his hair. And that cloud is then cause for the vegetation which comes. But really speaking, if we go on understanding of a deeper sense, this is explaining the creation. And, of course, in the Upanishad also, it's mentioned, Om Puna Idam Puna Idam, that everything comes from the Supreme Lord. And all that emanates from the Supreme Lord is also complete and perfect. And that which is perfect has no imperfection in it because it is coming from the Supreme Perfect. Now here, when we see this, as is mentioned here also by Prabhupada towards the end of his purport, he's saying that the Supreme Lord is the cause of all causes. We have to understand this from that point of view, that we don't take it out of context, but you got to see the whole narration, how it fits in. And when you see the whole complete narration, then you will understand that there is a deeper sense of explanation given here by Vyasadeva about the Lord and His creation. Now, obviously, we have read, even in Bhagavad Gita, that Arjuna was given the privilege to see the universal form, which is also described here. So when we hear about these things, it kind of doesn't make any sense to us, because we are trying to figure out the Supreme Lord, as Srila Prabhupada said, with our tiny pea brain. No, we cannot conceive the inconceivable with this brain. So we have to accept the words of the acharyas who have deeper understanding. And all the acharyas in the line of our parampara are explaining to us in our common language, which we can understand. And the basic understanding is that we have to have that complete faith in the words which is said by the sages, by the acharyas, and of course the Supreme Lord Himself, where He's explaining the cause of all causes. He's the origin of all creation. Now, many times it's very difficult to understand this concept, because we are so much brainwashed into thinking of this modern knowledge and technology which we have. So we are basing most of our understanding with the modern knowledge, or so-called scientific knowledge. But scientific knowledge is not an absolute knowledge. Because in the one purport of Isopanishad, Prabhupada is mentioning that the so-called modern science is progressive science. And it's simply based on theories. It is not actual facts. So what could be true today in terms of professing the scientific theories, some years down the road, it may have no meaning, because there is a whole new way of thinking, there is a whole new theories which has been propounded by the scientists, and they are saying, oh, we have a better understanding now. So it keeps changing. In other words, what they say in terms of football analogy, changing the goalpost, you know. So if you keep changing the goalpost, you're not going to get your goal, because it keeps changing every time. You know, you aim for this side and it's moved already this side. So you're not going to get the target. So Prabhupada explains that this science, which is given by the modern science scientists, is progressive science. That which is true today will be false tomorrow, because someone will come up and discredit the theory and present his theory, which at the time, according to his time, place, and circumstances, may be understandable. Yes, due to this situation, this is how it is. For example, you know, if someone had told you, say, 70 years ago, that in the future we'll have satellites floating all around the earth, and these satellites will be the means of modern communications, and they'll be walking around with a tiny little phone which not just communicates, but it can do many things besides just communication. You know, the phone is for communicating, giving message or receiving message, but then you have small tiny computers inside which has ability to work as a small computer. At the same time, you know, you have many games on it, and they have internet facilities, so you can actually zoom around and see the world through the internet. Now, if someone had told you that 70 years ago, you would think, guys are crazy. It's impossible. But we see it presently, it is possible. Now in the future, something else will come up. And it will keep changing. But Srila Prabhupada explains that the science of Krishna consciousness, which is presented in the Shastra, specifically the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, it is an absolute science, which is true when it is spoken. It was true in the past, it is true in the present, and it will be true in the future. It won't change. Just like, we have an understanding now by Prabhupada's mercy that he's explaining this Shastra originally came from Lord Brahma. And Brahma received it from the Supreme Lord himself. And it is passed down in parampara, and it's coming down as it is. And then at some stage, of course, Vyasadeva was thinking that there's a change of age from Dwarpa Yuga, now we are going to Kali Yuga, where men will have short memories, they will be short-lived, and the remembrance capacity will be very little. So whatever we hear today, by the evening we'll forget. So Vyasadeva had put this transcendental knowledge in a written form so that we can access it anytime, every time we need, just go and refer to it, and we can recap it and, you know, refresh our understanding so that we don't forget the essence. The Prabhupada says that this science is absolute, and it is a science to awaken us from our slumber, which we have been going into a kind of a deep sleep in this material world. As soon as we enter the material world, we go into a deep sleep, and that deep sleep then creates dreams. As we all experience in our present day, that, you know, all day you worked hard and go to sleep at night, and then in your sleep, you may have a very peaceful sleep, or you may have a very unrestful sleep, but in between you may have some dreams, some very pleasant dreams, some very nasty dreams, but it's not a reality, it's a dream. So similarly, when we enter the material world, we go into this deep sleep state, and then we start dreaming about the world we see around. And we accept this world around us as absolute reality. But it is not a reality. It is a temporary manifestation being facilitated our desires to be fulfilled. So we have many, many desires. And the Supreme Lord is, in His mystical powers, is arranging for all our desires to be fulfilled. And it appears as reality. But as soon as we are awakened from our sleeping slumber, as the song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, jeev jago, gora chandra bole, that the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, wake up sleeping souls. Understand reality. So when we are awakened to spirituality, then we begin to really understand that this world is an illusion. Now, of course, illusion doesn't mean that it is a kind of a mirage. It is there, because as Prabhupada explains, the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world, but it is perverted. So what we see here is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. So in other words, Prabhupada gives us a glimpse that the spiritual world is exactly like this place here. It's non-different. But only thing is, in this world, we have the sense of experiencing deterioration. Everything deteriorates with time. And as time goes, things change, and it deteriorates, it falls apart, and it starts again, the cycle. As Prabhupada says, you know, repeated birth and death, the cycle keeps going and everything goes in the cycle. So everything you see around is in that way repeating itself over and over and over. But in the spiritual world, there is no concept of time. It is just linear. Everything is ever fresh and youthful. Now, to understand that concept is impossible for us, because as it's mentioned that this is achintya, it is inconceivable. So since it's inconceivable, for us to conceive this inconceivable understanding or experience, it won't be easy for us to actually relate to it. But if we have faith in the words of Krishna, if we simply follow as Krishna is directing us and guiding us in our path to free ourselves from these misconceptions, then as we are becoming more and more free from our contamination of our material connection and become detached from it, then you begin to realize. This realization will be revealed to you. Now, this knowledge which will be revealed to you is not mundane knowledge, it's spiritual knowledge. And therefore, the spirit soul, when it's free from this illusion of material contamination, can understand and experience this. That is why we hear from the sages, you know, saints, sages, the acharyas who are purified through the process of bhakti, that they can understand this. And then they are actually giving us a glimpse into it. And when we get the glimpse of this, then we have to see that this person is speaking from a very realized point of view. So in this case, we are very fortunate to have the A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada purports to all the translations he has given us. And this is Prabhupada is speaking from a very high realized position where he is experiencing this. Now, for us, we may not experience it, but if we keep following the process, then eventually we will come to that level of realization. Now, realization is not something is overnight. It comes in small doses, just as you can digest it. If you get an overdose of something, you won't be able to digest it. So Krishna sees individual person and says how much they are free from this material illusion. That much realizations you will be privy to, and that realization will be revealed to you. So no two persons will have the same realization. Will have different realization. Because Krishna is very individually connecting with you or as an individual person. Now, this this relationship with Krishna of every living entity is very, very individual and particular. We do not have two of a kind. Every individual person is having a very unique relationship with Krishna and a very unique understanding which is revealed to us. That is the greatness of the Supreme Lord, that how He can interact with every living entity very individually. Now we are also kind of living in a very kind of closed world here, thinking that this world is everything. There is nothing beyond. But of course scriptures gives us very much a different picture. There are many, many universes, and each universe is filled with many, many thousands of millions of living entities experiencing all kinds of different things. Just yesterday I was listening to one lecture by Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said that we look at the sun, and sun according to scripture, and also the modern scientists have confirmed, it's 93 million miles away from the planet Earth. But the heat we feel here in the summer is tremendous. Of course, unfortunately, we cannot feel that full impact of the heat. If you're in India and you get 45, 50 degree temperatures, you'll understand how hot the sun is. So here in England, we don't get 45 degree temperature, but we do get 25 to 28 degrees, and still that is uncomfortable for us. Now, one would think, if we are 93 million miles away and you can feel this heat, and it may not be very easy for us to survive in excessive heat, how would living entities be living on the planet's the sun globe? So Prabhupada is saying that in this planet Earth, we have living entities who have got a body of five material elements, and mostly we are made of Earth. In the sun planet, Prabhupada said, the body is made of fire. Now, for us, it is very difficult to conceive of that idea. How can one have a body of fire? Because in our tiny experience, if you have fire, you'll burn to ashes. So if someone has a body of fire, it'll burn itself. So what kind of body is that? But of course, we cannot understand, but there is experience. So many years ago, Sataputta Prabhu, he was presenting, you know, one of our great scientists, mathematician in our movement, unfortunately he's passed away, but he was making this presentation, and in that presentation he said that the scientists have discovered that way below, at the bottom of the ocean, where the core of the earth is really, really hot, it's almost like the sun. No, the heat is tremendous. And they found some living entities living in that heat. Now, this is not even the sun planet. This is our material planet here, planet Earth. And say that it is possible for someone to survive in that condition. And that condition, of course, is given by Krishna to that living entity, so it can live in that environment. So just like in this material world here, we experience that all of us have got bodies, and we are all individual bodies, they are not too alike. Even if we say the twins who are supposed to be looking identical, but they are only looking identical, but they have very individual personalities, they are individual persons. Nonetheless, each one has got a vehicle to cross the ocean of material suffering, or the whole ocean in which we are presently caught up in this material world. And as we become spiritually awakened, we come to an understanding that what is my position? My position is that I have to reconnect with the Supreme Lord. And therefore, when we connect with the Supreme Lord, then you are on your way to crossing the ocean of material suffering and existence from the material world to the spiritual world, which is your real place. So temporarily, we are in the material world, but as Prabhupada explains, we are not of this world, we are in this world. And as long as we are in this world, then we will need some suitable arrangement for the soul to exist. Now, the analogy is given of a fish out of water. So when the fish is quite happily swimming in the water, it feels comfortable because that environment is natural for the fish. But as soon as the fish has been taken out of that environment, what happens to the fish? For maybe 2, 3, 4 minutes, it will survive. But then very soon, it will suffocate and it will die. So similarly, each one of us, as a living entity, we need a suitable body to survive. So Krishna has given us all living entities, according to our situation, a different body. And in this body, we can survive happily in this world. And as in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada explains, that the body, the living entity, goes through 8,400,000 species of life and finally comes to the human platform. And then in the human platform, he has the ability to inquire. So the analogy as I gave of the fish in the water, we are also the living entity out of our spiritual environment. And therefore, when we are in this environment, we need a suitable body. So if someone wants to experience a life of a fish, you know, you can jump into the ocean. And as long as your capacity of holding air in your lungs, you'll be able to stay underwater. But within 2 minutes, 3 minutes, you will begin to suffocate and you have to surface again and come out of that foreign environment into the environment which you are accustomed to, which again your body has been given this environment in which you can survive. But if you go out of this environment and go into a foreign environment, then you'll struggle. So, if you want to stay longer and experience the fish experience, then of course we have artificial arrangement. You put on a scuba gear and you have an oxygen tank in the back and the mask and everything. And they have now maybe supply of oxygen for 2, 3, 4 hours, depending on the capacity of the tank you're carrying. So you can now experience the fish experience. And you can go deep into the ocean and swim around with the fish for 2 to 4 hours, according to the capacity of your oxygen tank. And you can have a longer experience, but you cannot be permanently there. You have to come out, because the tank soon is going to be empty, and then you have to come out, and then you have to refill it. But you cannot permanently stay there. So in this material world also, we cannot permanently stay in this body. We have to keep changing this body at a certain interval. No. And in our human life, as you know that in this age, the maximum you can probably stretch is 100 years, if you're fortunate enough to. But even unfortunate, because 100 years is not a very good bargain to hang around this miserable world. But as soon as you finish, you have to give up this body and then you get another body. And another body, and you keep going. Until you come to a platform where you actually are fortunate enough to receive the causeless mercy of the Lord. And when you receive the causeless of the mercy of the Lord, then you are awakened, then you follow the path of bhakti which Krishna has given us, direction. How to come out of this miserable condition and follow the discipline of bhakti. And when you follow the discipline of bhakti, then gradually at the point of death, you'll be completely free from all these misconceptions, all this illusion of the material world, and you will understand that my destiny and destination is a spiritual world. And therefore, as Krishna says, that if you remember me at the time of death, then surely you'll come to me. So, all arrangements are made, specifically in this purport, when we read where Prabhupada is saying that all facilities are given here for our sustenance by the cause of all causes, the Supreme Lord. So, all the facilities are given to us to come out of this world, not to stay in this world. Unfortunately, because we don't have the true knowledge and understanding, we prepare ourselves to stay longer and longer in this world and try to make ourselves comfortable. But no matter how much comfort you make, it's not going to be sufficient. Now, we have seen some very rich people. They're endowed with wealth which they can purchase all the comforts of life. Now, after purchasing all the comforts of life and making all arrangements, and he feels a little poorly, so he goes to the doctor. And the doctor analyzes his disease condition and says, well, I have bad news for you. You have cancer. And your body is being eaten up by these cancerous cells, and it's going to be very painful as you approach the end. And he says, well, but I have money. I have all the luxuries. I have all the comforts. Give me this. Free me from this. Nobody can be freed. So in other words, you know, you may get everything possible in this material world for your comfortable life, but eventually that pain is going to come, and that pain will then, be the end of your demise, and then you'll have a painful death. And even after a painful death, at the point of death, you are in tremendous pain and you think, oh, you don't think of Krishna. Because all your life, you have never thought of Krishna. So what do you think about? Is all the wealth you've accumulated, my property, my money, my wife, my children, my car, my this, my, and then you come back again. So when you come back again, what happens? Start all over again. And then we are fortunate enough, the great Satli person comes like Srila Prabhupada, and says, wake up sleeping souls. I'm going to show you how to come out of this miserable condition. And then he gives us the process of bhakti, and we follow that, then we will successfully come to the end. As Prabhupada says, all you have to do is simply try and practice remembering Krishna every day. And then, of course, we have a very simple process of remembering Krishna. The more we chant, the more we can remember him. And we're conditioning our mind to remember Krishna. And at the time of death, Krishna will come to you, and then you'll remember Krishna, and automatically you'll be transported from this world into the spiritual world, where we'll be in the natural environment. As I said earlier on, take the fish and put it back in the water. The fish is quite happy in the water because that is his natural environment. So for us, when we are transported from this material world into the spiritual world, we become very happy, just like fish in the water. We feel the living entity, the spirit soul, in the spiritual environment, where you can now experience that your eternal Swarupa, which is explained in the Bhagavad Gita, that being part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, we are also of the same nature as the Supreme Lord, Sat, Chit, Ananda, Vigraha. So we have the same eternity, we have same potency of understanding knowledge and experiencing blissfulness. But we are trying, as I said, to do the same thing in this material world, which is a foreign environment, which will not give you the full experience of Sat, Chit, or Ananda. We all want to live forever. We don't want to die. That's why we go for medical help and say, please help me out of my disease condition so I'm healthy and I can live for longer. And scientists are giving us a false hope. If not today, tomorrow, science is going to progress. We are progressing so much so that we will defeat death. At least we have the experience of knowledge, of thousands and millions of years of knowledge coming from Brahma all the way down to present day. And we have not seen anyone has defeated death. Even Hiranyakashipu performed tremendous austerities, and then finally he gets audience with Lord Brahma. And he says, Lord Brahma, you are the creator. Give me immortality. And the Lord Brahma says, not possible. And I have to give up my body. What to speak of you? So, we have understanding that nobody can defeat death. Because death is an experience in the material world, not in the spiritual world. There is no such thing as death in the spiritual world. So, here as Prabhupada is mentioning here in this purport, that by the mercy of the Lord, the causeless supreme Lord has given us all facilities to come out of this material world and go back to the spiritual world. So we simply have to follow in the words of the spiritual master, and with faith, sincerely practice, and eventually we will come out of this misconception or illusion of material life is everything. And then we realize that this is temporary, and our real goal is to go back home to the spiritual world. So we should take that on board and practice our Krishna consciousness with full faith and move forward and not doubt the scriptures. Because there is that tendency to doubt the scriptures because we may not have a clear understanding. As I said in the beginning when I read this verse in the purport, it's very difficult to comprehend this concept that the hair of the Lord is the sitting place of the clouds, and then clouds is the cause of the vegetation which we get. You know, you look at yourself, of course, most of us, we don't have hair because we have a discipline of shaving off, but, you know, ladies have long hair, and at least we have a little sikha here, and look, and say, where's the cloud? Where's the thing, you know? You look for this, and we can't see it here, and you say, well, what about the Lord? So then you come into the temple room, and see beautiful Gokulananda with his nice long locks of hair, and then try to figure out, where's the clouds in there? Well, as I said, it is not a literal description. It is an allegory. So we have to understand that in that concept. But the bottom point is that we have to have faith in the Lord's words and the Acharya's words. And then we take it from there. We'll give us 100% faith in our process and become strong in our following the part of bhakti, and you won't be weakened in the process. The more you follow strongly in faith, the process becomes much more easier and pleasant, and you will experience the transcendental bliss which is mentioned in the scriptures. So I will touch on a little bit on today's the disappearance day of Sri Baladev Vidya Bhushana, one of the great acharyas in our Gaudiya Vaishnava line. You know, he was a very, very powerful personality at a young age when he was in with his present-day Balasore near Remuna. You may know the place more by the transcendental personality of the Lord, Sri Shirjor Gopinath, where the Lord steals the sweet rice for Madhavendra Puri. So at that time, there was a lot of discussion going on about the presentation of philosophical conclusions. As I said, you know, we have to accept the acharyas. And if you don't, then you will never get to understand the true knowledge. So at that time, there were many, many great persons, philosophers, having debate, discussing about the validity of the different sampradayas. And at that time of Baladeva Vidyabhushana, Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition was very strong because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself came and he presented the transcendental conclusions of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva philosophy. And in our line from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu down to Baladeva Vidyabhushana time, there was none of the acharyas who had written commentaries which is acceptable by all the sort of so-called philosophers and saints who have kind of given a stamp of authorization and approval that this is the treatise written by these acharyas, therefore they are bona fide. So all the acharyas have written different treatises, but in our line there wasn't any treatise written, because at the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when great saint Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya was considered a great scholar in that time, and he presented his Siddhanta, his understanding, his treatise to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when Mahaprabhu visited Puri. And Mahaprabhu, as we know from Chaitanya Charitamrita, that he listened to everything And there was no any reaction from him. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is saying, do you understand what I'm telling you? Of course, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had this misconception that he is a young guy, you know, taking sannyas. What experience he has of life? But then Mahaprabhu corrects him and says, this is the real Siddhanta. And then, of course, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, we all know, he surrendered to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said that we already have the doctrine written by Siddhar Swami. We just accept that. But at the time of Baladev Vidyabhushana, who's also with Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and he was getting elderly. So he didn't have time to go to go and discuss these things. So that time when discussions were going on, Baladev Vidyabhushana was commissioned. You go and discuss with him. And then he went to this body of gathering of great saintly persons who were so-called authorized persons of that time. And he defeated everyone. And from that day onwards, Gaudiya Vaishnava became a very accepted parampara in a bona fide line. And today we are now, you know, of course, by the blessings of all the Vaishnavacharyas, and of course, Srila Prabhupada, who brought this message to the whole world as an authority of how to become, you know, as I said, free from our illusion and wake up spiritually. So I will quickly read these couple of pages of his biographies, giving us a little insight. So today marks the disciplinarian day of the great personality in Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, namely Srila Baladev Vidyabhushana, born in Orissa near Puri, a place called Chikli Lake. He was a brilliant learner from his very childhood, and he learned Vyakhyarana. Vyakhyarana means all the intricacy of Sanskrit language, and the Vedas, Upanishads, and the various other scriptures. He was particularly interested in studying the Vedanta, and being dissatisfied with the Shankaracharya's explanation, he went to Udupi, where he studied all the commentaries of Vedanta written by the various Acharyas. Having thus acquired vast knowledge and expertise on the Vedanta, he went to Puri with the intention to conquer and defeat everyone in debate. There he met Radha Damodara Das, a great scholar in the line of the Samananda Prabhu and Rasikananda Prabhu, and started to discuss philosophy with him. Intending to defeat him, however, he was convinced that the conclusive truths presented by Radha Damodara Das were the highest, and therefore he immediately took shelter of his lotus feet and took initiation from him. Thereafter he went to Sri Vrindavan Dham, where he took shelter of his Siksha Guru, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He studied Jiva Goswami's Sundarbhas while performing bhajan under the guidance of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. A dispute broke out in Jaipur. The worship of Srimati Radhika alongside Sri Krishna was opposed by the Ramanuja Sampradaya followers, and therefore the worship of Radharani in the temple was stopped. The Ramanuja Sampradaya, which profounds Vaidya Bhakti and Varnashram Dharma, challenged the Gaudiya Vaishnavas and put three challenging questions before them. Firstly, they objected to the worship of Srimati Radharani alongside Krishna as they were not married. Secondly, they stated that Srimati Radharani's name is not mentioned anywhere in the Shastras. And thirdly, they claim that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas were not a Sampradaya, as there are only four Vaishnava Sampradayas and the Gaudiyas are not in any one of them. And they also do not have a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, and therefore they are not an authorized line of devotees in order to resolve the authorized line of devotees. In order to resolve this dispute, the king of Jaipur invited Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur who was the most prominent Gaudiya Vaishnava at that time. But due to his old age and the fact that he had taken Kshetra Sannyas and he would not go out of Vrindavan, he sent his disciple Baladev Vidyabhushana and another devotee to Jaipur to address the assembly and solve the dispute. In Jaipur, Baladeva Vidyabhushana quoted many Puranas, Vedas, Upanishads and Srimad Bhagavatam, proving the position of Srimati Radhani as Samasundara's eternal consort and his Ladini Shakti. He also described the pastimes when Lord Brahma stole all the cows and coward boys, and Krishna expanded himself, and at that time he married all the Brajadevis in his expanded form as the coward boys. In this way he proved the exalted position of Srimati Radharani. However, the opposing party argued that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas were not under any proper sampradaya. Sri Baladeva Vidyabhushana then proved that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas are in the line of Sri Madhvacharya. They then argued that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas did not have a commentary on Vedanta Sutra, and therefore they did not accept anything that he had said. He then said that he would present a commentary to prove the authenticity of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. He then prayed to Govinda Dev, and with his mercy, he was able to write the commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. Since the commentary was spoken directly by Govinda Dev, which Baladeva Vidyabhushana wrote, therefore this commentary was named Govinda Bhashya. After having thus defeated opponents in the debate and proving the exalted position of Srimati Radharani as Krishna's eternal consort, he re-established the worship of Srimati Radharani and Govinda Dev, and prove Gaudiya Vaishnava line to be pure Vaishnava Sampradaya under Madhvacharya. If not, Sri Baladeva Vidyabhushana, the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya would never have been accepted as bona fide, and therefore we are eternally indebted to him. On this day of his disappearance, we pray to him to bestow Krishna's blessings and prema upon all of us. So on that note, I will stop here. Yes, Prabhu.
The reason the Gaudiya Vaishnavas did not write a commentary on Vedanta Sutra was that they considered Srila Vyasadeva had written Srimad Bhagavatam as his own commentary, and that to write a commentary would usurp, was an offense to Srila Vyasadeva, because the Bhagavatam was the commentary.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, there is that Vaishnava etiquette and culture, but unfortunately, people have their own concocted ideas, and as I mentioned, that we all become very illusioned and also proud of our false knowledge. Like the present day scientists, as I said, they are proclaiming to know everything, and not only that, they are saying that we will solve all the problems of the world. But since the modern science came onto scene, say a couple hundred years back, you know, especially started as they're saying the modern science, the seeds were planted in Europe, and the scientists from Europe brought the modern concept of what we have science today, you know, and they are so proud. So there is always going to be people like that who are going to argue that you don't have the real thing. So here, of course, you know, as Baladeva Vidyabhushana, he was very much a pure devotee in the term that he took shelter in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, and then under the expertise of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he studied the Jiva Goswami Sundarbhas, which are the treaties which are considered the highest of the six Goswamis. At the same time, then he defeated everyone, and still they were not accepting it. So as mentioned here, that Govindji in Jaipur, he prayed to them and he said, okay, I will give you the real insight, you know, directly from the horse's mouth, as they say. And then he presented this, and then came to know as Govinda Bhashya, and is accepted. So, of course, you know, even today there will be people who say, you know, you're not the real people. In fact, you know, I will go as far as saying that when Srila Prabhupada, he came out of the comforts of Vrindavan on the order of his spiritual master and brought this transcendental knowledge to the Western world, and then he accepted Western disciples. And then when they came back to India, and a lot of these so-called smarters and so-called great saintly authorities were saying, you have done wrong. You have accepted malechas. You have to be a born Hindu. Nonsense. There's no injunction in the scriptures is saying that. But they were saying Prabhupada started some Upasampradaya. So, you know, even Prabhupada, the greatest authorities as far as I'm concerned, you know, there's no greater authority than Prabhupada who can present the very conclusion to anyone. You know, I would say he surpasses all the four acharyas, you know, Ramanuja, Sankaracharya, you know, Madhvacharya. Prabhupada surpassed all of them. Because he took the actual essence and gave to the whole world in the true spirit of saying that we are all spirit souls and not these bodies. So that even Prabhupada they were doubting. So you'll find people who are there. But at least as today, you know, we are seeing this is a disappearance of Baladev Vidyabhushana. We should be praying to him and saying, look, you know, you establish this, give us the mercy, and then we can also go with the same conviction. And even though if we cannot go with the same conviction to preach to others, at least we should have enough conviction for our own self to be convinced that this is a true path. And worship of Radha and Krishna is the highest. Because up to the point of the six Goswamis, there was no Radha Krishna worship anywhere. You look at all the ancient temples. You know, you go to Udupi, it's Krishna. You go to Sakshi Gopal, it's Krishna. You go to Guruvayur, it's Krishna. Anywhere you go, it's just Krishna deities, but no Radha. But the transcendental insight to the, you know, very, very, you can say, that confidential pastimes of Goloka were revealed to us by the Goswamis. And then, of course, Radharani's exalted position was there, right beside Krishna. That is why we say Radha Krishna. We don't say Krishna Radha. You know, and that is the highest understanding. And of course, there are people who still claim that, you know, you people don't understand. But that is their loss. For us, Srila Prabhupada is the embodiment of the conclusion of scriptures. And he has given us the true things. So we accept that. And we, with conviction, become strong in our faith and follow the process of bhakti. So before we stop, any comments or questions? No, it is awakened at the impact of when you begin to accept the process of Krishna consciousness. In other words, you know, we are going around our business, and then somehow, by transcendental arrangement of the Lord, you come in contact with Krishna consciousness. That is the first point where you are awakened. And then, as you are awakening, then your senses begin to kind of wake up more. Just like, you know, in your own experience, when you are in a deep sleep, and in the morning, you know, the alarm goes beep, 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 and you wake up. At this time, you're still feeling a little groggy, but you're awakened now, because the alarm has kind of given a sign to say it's time to wake up. So you wake up, and as you wake up, and as you're going, your routine, you wake up, you go to the bathroom, and you clean yourself, take a shower, put on fresh clothes, you wake up even more. And then as the day progresses, you are more awakened. But unfortunately, again, night comes, you go back to sleep. But in the spiritual life, that once that point of awakening comes, is first contact with Krishna consciousness, and you accept Krishna, and then you begin to practice the process. You know, you start chanting and following the regular principles and becoming more stricter in your devotional practices. You become more and more and more awakened. And if you keep awake, then you'll keep going from Adhosrada to Prema. You know, the process is there. Now, if we are a little complacent in our process of practicing bhakti, while you are awakened, you can go back to sleep again. And if you are complacent and neglecting the principles of bhakti with faith and conviction, then you go back to sleep. In other words, you give up the practice of Krishna consciousness and then fall back into that slumber. Which we see, you know, in our experience, that many wonderful persons have awakened, and then after being awakened and very, very, you know, enthusiastically following, and then all of a sudden they go back into the material pool. So that is that every danger. So therefore, the process is given to us that once we are awakened, we have to stay awake. And the process of staying awake is, Prabhupada's recommendation is, always stay in the association of devotees. And when you're associating devotees, even if you are kind of, you know, falling asleep, someone will come and say, shake you up and wake you up again and bring you back the spirit of being alive in Krishna consciousness and continue. And then eventually, of course, you know, that inevitable end comes. At that time, we are all very happy and ready to go back home to spiritual world. Okay? All right. Thank you very much. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.